That kind of thinking can defeat anybody. If you don't think you're important to God, you don't know the truth about God's word, Satan can rob you of the blessings God intended for you to have and enjoy in Christ Jesus. If you don't believe God loves you, and you don't believe God can do for you, and you don't believe God will do for you, then Satan's going to rob you of your joy. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3 says, therefore with joy I shall draw water out of the wells of salvation. So I like joy, don't you? Now, I don't always express that joy because it don't always show up, because there are trials, there are afflictions, there are problems in life that will try to that brings unhappiness in our life. But that doesn't steal my joy in knowing that when I slow down and I stop to think about it, I'm still saved. I still have God on my side. I can still have the joy of the Lord. I can still sip from that living water. I can still drink from the wells of the water of life. I can still break the bread of life. I'm still saved regardless of what I might be experiencing today. You understand what I'm trying to say? We get down in the dumps. We think everything's going bad and everything's against us. Well, it's not always bad. It may be bad, but it's not all against you. If you go on and read Romans, the 8th chapter, it says, for this we know, all things work together for the good for those who love, to them who love God, for those called, for them that love God, to those called according to His purpose. So that doesn't mean you won't have trial and affliction, but it means it'll work out for your good if you'll continue in the faith. A lot of people throw up their hands and quit before they get to the good. You know it's true, they do, because God don't love me. God doesn't work for me like He does others. God doesn't come through for me like He will for you. Come on, Satan's dropped your joy, and he's dropped the blessing. And so, I don't believe God has any favorite children. You're just as much His favorite as I am. You know, I've run across people, and they'll say, oh, I'm God's favorite. Well, you're no more His favorite than I am. Oh, I must be. I shout more than you do. Well, that don't mean you're His favorite. You're just one of His kids that show out. Some of us have a deep-rooted faith. We don't have to show out to show God we love Him. I'm just messing with you there. Nothing wrong with shouting. Nothing wrong with it at all. The fact is, I enjoy it when you do, and every once in a while I try to rub a hole, you know, dance a hole in the rug every great once in a while. The older I get, the less I do that. That's work. I'm kind of like that. Oh, never mind. Let's move on. Sometimes a natural parent will seem to have a favorite child. If you ask my son, Stephanie's our favorite child. If you ask Melissa, she is. Truth be known, we ain't telling which one of them it is. If there's either any one of the three. But it might seem that way sometime. And I have known parents, natural parents, who had favorites. And they looked down on the other one, despised them, it seemed, treated them bad, you know, and everybody knew it. But God has no favorites. So get that down into your spirit today. Get that into your spirit. I don't care what you're going through this morning. I don't care how bad you feel about your life. God has no favorites. Understand that. He has no favorites. Everyone who's born into the family of God has the same redemption. He didn't save me different than He saved you. He didn't save you different than He did somebody else in your family or in this church or in the body of Christ. We all have the same redemption. You're not more saved than I am, and I'm not no more saved than you are. I have a different position in the church than you do, but that doesn't make me any more saved. Nor does that make me immune to or exempt from problems. I may have to handle them publicly different than you would. That doesn't mean I don't melt down privately every now and then over my problems. Okay? But God still loves me the same as He loves you, and He loves you the same as He does me, because God has no favorites. Get that in your spirit today. He has no favors. Sometimes people assume another Christian has more than they do. That's not true either. You have the same salvation I've got. You have the same opportunities that I have. You have the same light that I have. I have no more light of Jesus than you do. You have the same light I have. His light shone in my heart the same as it did yours. He didn't take a higher illumination to shine into my heart to reveal to me my need that he did for you. The same Jesus died for you that died for me in the same manner that he died for you. He died for me. He didn't do it any different for any of the rest of us. And he doesn't deal with any of us any different than he does the rest of us. He doesn't have any favor. So he's not going to say, well, I'm going to do different for Sister Janice back there. You need to not look so much like your mama. Sister Amanda Joe, than I will for Sister Barbara. I mean, after all, they all had the same need. They were lost, undone, without God. So he has he's not going to do that. Some Bible says this in Ephesians the 5th chapter and 8th verse. He says, Sometime, but you were sometime in darkness, but now you are in light. Walk as children of light. Darkness described the character of each and every one of us before we knew Christ. We were in spiritual darkness. Every single one of us. We were unconverted. We were void of truth, and we were void of virtue in intellectual and moral matters. We didn't know God. We didn't serve Christ. We weren't saved. So we were void of the thing we really needed. And so we were walking in darkness, and we were presided over by the Spirit and the power of darkness, and over Satan ruled over us. He who rules the darkness. We were walking in darkness before we become Christians. Every single one of us. If you're not a Christian today, you're still walking in spiritual darkness. And there might be somebody here that's not a Christian today. Thanks for that hand back there. I appreciate your honesty. Oh, he's just stretching. I thought he was saying, Grandpa, I need Jesus. We're all walking in the same darkness before Christ. And God saved us out of that darkness and didn't show favorites. Some would say that he's going to choose this one and this one, and I'm going to skip these three, and then I'm going to choose this two. I'm going to go about five more, and I'm going to pick these out. And they're the ones that are the elect. I don't believe that for one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to whosoever believeth in him. Whosoever. I'm a whosoever. You're a whosoever. And whoever believes in him, drawn by his Spirit and believes in him, shall be saved. He's not picking and choosing who's going to be the elect and go to heaven. He has chosen everybody to go to heaven, but not everybody has chosen to go to heaven. Some are desired to stay in darkness, but you and I have not decided to stay in darkness. So we came out of that darkness. We now walk in the light, and we enjoy being in the light, and we enjoy the same redemption together. Sweet as the song I'm singing today, I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. Back to this song, I had some pain. The pain taker took it. I was lost, and he was the way maker. I needed freedom. I needed saving, and he was the prison shaking savior. I had chains, and he was the chain breaker. That's my savior, and that's your savior today. Understand that today. So you are redeemed out of the hand of the enemy. Oh, every one of us, every single one of us, Satan had conquered you personally, but you know what? Satan was conquered for you personally, and Satan was conquered for me personally, and when you say it like that, it builds your faith. When you say, Satan was conquered for me, doesn't that make you feel better? Jesus conquered him for you. Not just for everybody, but make it personal. He conquered Satan for you. He made a way where there wasn't a way. He opened a door that was closed. It was shut. It was barred. It was locked. You couldn't get through it without Christ. And Christ tore down the barrier. He shook the walls of hell. Each believer can say along with the Apostle Paul in Romans 4:25. And let me read that out of this verse over here. And actually, I wanted to read more than that, but I don't remember how much now. It says this, and I'll go back to 24, but also for us, it shall be imputed to us who believe in him, Jesus, or God, who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. He was delivered for our offenses, was raised up for our justification. Another translation reads this, he was delivered up on account of our trespasses, and it was raised up for our justification. They killed him to save us. They raised him to justify us. God did that. Why? Because he loved you. He made a way where there didn't seem to be a way. Because he wanted you to go to heaven. He didn't build that big old place up there just to have it. He's not a hoarder. He's not going to fill the rooms with junk. He's going to fill it with people. Save people. I know people, they build buildings and tear them down, build bigger so they can fill them up with junk. Or they buy new buildings and before you long, they got more stuff in there. That's terrible. Use the stuff. Get rid of the junk. Give it away. Let somebody use it. Don't leave it for your family to have to sort through. Me and my wife, we're going to sell everything tomorrow. Buy us a travel trailer. I'm kidding. We're not going to do neither. we're going to let our kids suffer like we've suffered. They're going to have to go through everything. They wonder why'd they keep that. Maybe by that time it'll be worth something. I don't know. Praise God. He was raised up. He was raised for our justification. It's ours. It's yours. It's mine. It belongs to us so we can make it personal. He did that for us. He was delivered up for my offenses. He was raised for my justification. Redemption belongs to each and every one of us. I'm not more justified than you are. You're not more justified than I am. And the word justified is translated this. I'm not made more righteous than you are, and you are not no more righteous than I am. Some people like to put certain people on pedestals. Well, they're the righteous ones, and they got to live a certain way, and we look up to them. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If you're a Christian today, you got a light shining. People ought to be able to look up to you just like they would a preacher or a teacher or evangelist or whoever, apostle or prophet or whoever it might be. People are looking to you to be an example of what justification looks like, what being made right with God looks like. They're looking to you to show them and be an example of what a Christian is. Because you're just as righteous as anybody. So act like it. Live like it. Be a Christian. I don't know why we have so much trouble doing that sometimes. And then we want to justify. We want, instead of be justified, we want to justify. What do you mean by that, preacher? I mean, instead of being justified and saved by grace, by the precious blood of Jesus, we want to justify our sinful actions and why we don't have to do any different than what we do. Amen. That's what some people do. They want to live like the devil and proclaim Christianity, but yet their light's not shining. They're not being an example. They have no fruit. They want to justify their actions. They fly off the handle. They justify it. Usually they point it back at you. Well, you shouldn't have said what you said, and you didn't say nothing to start with, but they point it back at where you shouldn't have said what you said. Well, what did I say? I just told you you look good today. For a person your age, but anyway. No, you get what I'm talking about. Some people, they want to justify every sinful action that they have, and it's always somebody else's fault, and they need to be justified, not tried to justify. You understand what I'm saying? So we've been made righteous. Jesus didn't die for my transgressions or my trespasses any more than he died for yours. The same Jesus that died for yours died for mine. Can you say glory to God? I'm glad that I am not perfect. But I'm glad also I'm not the only one he died for. He died for all of us the same. God has no favorites. Do you get where I'm going with this? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You're God's favorite as much as anybody. Live like it. Act like it. Claim that. Understand that Jesus did that for us. Look at chapter 1, verse 13. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Yeah, there it is. Says this. concerning Jesus. He hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated or conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son, of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He has delivered us. He has drawn us to himself. The word delivered there means drawn us to himself, and refers to a believer's spiritual liberation by God from Satan's kingdom. You're not under Satan's rule any longer. You have been delivered from Satan's kingdom. He's the prince and the power of the air. He has limited power while we're on earth. But we, as Christians, have been delivered from Satan's rule. He's, in other words, he's under our feet. He's under our feet. We don't have to give in to him. We have been liberated. Satan's, and we have been brought into the realm of light with truth and purity by Jesus Christ. We are no longer under deception and wickedness. We don't have to be deceived any longer. We are ruled not by King Satan, but we are ruled by King Jesus. We're a part of his everlasting kingdom because he loves you. Look at Acts 26:18. This is what Paul wrote as he's recounting his conversion. And he says this in chapter 18, chapter 26, verse 18. He says, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. What do you say? We have been delivered from the power of Satan. We have been saved. We can confidently say, he has delivered me. He delivered us, to make it personal. Like I said, he has delivered me. We forget this sometime. We think, well, he delivered that one, he delivered this one, but I'm still under the power of Satan. I've still got some things to deal with. Yeah, absolutely. We all deal with some things. What do we deal with usually? Flesh. Flesh. But your spirit, man, is saved. Crucify the flesh and the affections and the lust of your flesh. Bring your body into subjection. Present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by renewing of your mind. Crucify that flesh, I'm telling you. You're saved, and you're as saved as I am today. Walk in it, live like it, understand it, accept it, and put Satan in his place. Quit letting him tell you you're not saved. I'm not telling you can go out and do what you want to do. I'm not saying that, and y'all know me better than that. I'm telling you today, though, that God has delivered you. Make it personal. I have been delivered out of the authority, the power of darkness, and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. I'm a part of the kingdom of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. That'll excite you today. I've been born again. I've been set free. Satan has no power over me. You have the same redemption. Each one of us has the same redemption. God has no favorites. Redemption doesn't belong to just a few. Sweet is the song I'm singing today. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. It's this absolute redemption is the personal property of every child of God, whether he knows it or not. And if he doesn't know it, he cannot walk in the light, but he still has it. You need to understand that today. You're the personal property of Jesus Christ. You are to walk in the light. Satan no longer has dominion over you. You have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Walk like it, act like it, accept it today. Know that you are free. This redemption also is personal. It is absolute redemption from the dominion of the devil. Absolute. He no longer has dominion over you. The Bible teaches us to give no place to the devil. Why would he tell us that? Because he has no dominion over you. Don't give him a free ride. Don't open a door for him. He has no dominion over you. When he comes against you, say, Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. You have no dominion over me. You have no place here. Get behind me, Satan. You have the authority. Why? I can't say that. Jesus said it. His blood's flowing through your veins. He has delivered you from the power of darkness and translated you into his marvelous kingdom of light. Why can't you take the words of Jesus when the Satan comes against you and say, Satan, get behind me. We don't want him to look at us like he did Peter and said, you're full of the devil, Peter. You know, it's basically why I told him, Satan put that in your heart, Peter, get away, get behind me. We don't want that. I don't want that to happen to you. So I've been redeemed. Satan's not my Lord. Jesus is. Satan has no right to rule me. He doesn't have a right to rule anything about me. He has no place in my life. And I've been redeemed, and that's my personal property. I'm going to hold on to that. I'm putting that in my bag, and I'm taking that with me. My redemption. I'm saved. I was bought with a price. And I'm not going to discount. This is not Wall's Bargain Center. You can't get in no other way. You can't find a bargain on salvation. Jesus paid it all. Jesus gave it all. He didn't bargain with God. Well, so can I just give a toll? Can you just have somebody take a little bit of my blood? Could I just agonize in the garden a while? Let them arrest me and whip me a little while and turn me loose and that'd be good enough? No, he didn't bargain with God. He went to the garden and said, if it's possible, let this cup pass. But if not, not my will, but thy will be done, Father. If this is what it takes to redeem human mankind and to bring your creation back to us, then I'll die. I'll give my life's blood. So, well, that wouldn't be so bad if I knew I was going to be resurrected in just a few days. Why don't you try suffering on the cross and have them beat you half to death and pluck your beard and put a crown of thorns on your head? How do you feel when you feel rejected by your children or by your spouse or by your coworkers? How does that make you feel when you're rejected and despised and abused? It breaks your heart. It makes you, it saddens you as deep as you can be. Jesus was rejected by the very Father in heaven. He paid it all for you and I. God rejected him at that moment. It wasn't full rejection. You understand, God had to turn his back and say, this is what's going to happen. My boy is going to die. He's going to shed his blood. He's going to suffer. He's going to shed his blood. He's going to die. But on the third day, he's going to come alive. But I've got to let him go. Many, many years ago, Denny got really sick one day. And he was trying to take a shower or something. And he fell into the tub. And I thought he was dying. And I just couldn't believe. I was like, man, my heart was crushed. And I was like, oh, no, not my boy. I would have said that about my girls, but they never, you know, don't get me wrong, Melissa, I love you too. But I mean, that particular day, I'm just giving a story, it's about my boy. And I thought he was going to die. He wasn't even that sick, but I just did that feeling come over me. Oh, no, He's about 12, 13, 14, I don't know. Almost big enough I was ready for him to, you know, but, you know, I wasn't quite yet. You know, you go through those times, don't you, with your teenage kids. But I wasn't ready yet. I don't want to give him up. Can you imagine? I just can imagine how God must have felt when he had to say, Jesus, you got to die. But Jesus said, I'll do it. He redeemed us with his blood. And so because of that, we belong to him. His redemption belongs to us. It's our personal property. We can put Satan on a run. Jesus knocked the devil out for you. He absolutely didn't just give him a black eye. He broke his nose, bloodied him up real good, sent him with his tail, pointed little tail, I don't know if he's got a pointed little tail or not. The Bible said he was a very beautiful angel in heaven, so he probably doesn't have a pointed little tail and horns like we depict him and everything. But Jesus put him on the run. He probably grabbed hold of him and Satan was trying to get away from him. And you ever try to whip a kid and they keep trying to get away from you? Hold on to the arm, they're going in circles. Jesus was probably doing that, getting him, come on, get back here. Get back here. I ain't through with you yet because I'm putting you on the run. I'm showing you I have dominion. You thought you had me. You thought you was going to destroy this whole world. You had them in darkness. You had them in wickedness for a long time, but I have redeemed them. Jesus put Satan on the run. Colossians 2:15 says this, he spoiled principalities and powers and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. Let me read this out of this version here or see my something in here that will help us just a little bit, I think, if I haven't lost it. And he stripped him. What did he strip Satan of? Well, he stripped Satan of his authority over mankind. He disarmed him. He made a spectacle of them. He triumphed over them. While his body was dead, while he was supposedly in the grave, his living divine spirit actually went to the abode of Satan, the abode of demons, and announced his triumphant, that he was triumphant over sin, over Satan, over death, and over hell. The Bible said he went into the depths of the earth, and he declared, I am Jesus. I am the King of glory. I have defeated all the principalities and all of hell today. The Bible said he led captivity captive. And he marched out of there triumphant, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I know they stripped him. I know he tried to take authority, that Satan tried to take authority, but Jesus stripped him of his authority and stripped him and acted in our stead, in our place. He did it for us. We are free today from Satan's authority. Look at John 4, 1 John 4, verses 4 through 6. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. But this we know, the spirit of truth, the spirit of error. We have overcome. And we are overcomers. With the first three verses of 1 John 4, we find out that Jesus is talking about the devil and all of his cohorts. We are greater. He that is in us is greater than he that is in this world today. And we are overcomers today by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. He didn't say that we were going to overcome them. He said that we have overcome them. He didn't say that we would overcome these demons. He says we've already, what he did marked to our credit, and we have already overcome them. That's why, about 26 years ago, a person walked into our church and they come to me and said, Pastor, I found out that the witches in this area are praying against your church. And they're going to come against you and they're going to destroy you. And I just looked at that fella and said, fella, first off, I don't know you. Secondly, greater is he that's in me that's in this world. Let them witches pray what they want to pray. Let them do what they want to do. Let them have all the nightly meetings they want to have. They can't touch me. They can't touch this church. And whatever they try to form, everything that's formed against me will come against them. Just let them try to defeat me today. I'm not defeated. They are under my feet, and Satan is under my feet, and Jesus has declared that I am in him and he is in me, and greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I said, so bring it on. Well, it didn't work. We're still here. I never got any warts in strange places. I didn't start limping unexplainably. Didn't have a sudden heart attack. My finances didn't cut off. Church is still here 27 years later, 26 years later. Still here. Has it been a battle? Why, yeah, but we're still victorious in Christ Jesus. And witches couldn't stop us. They didn't have the power of God in them that we had. They had a false power. I depended on Christ and His blood. So I just said, Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. That guy lasted about 2 weeks. I guess he went and joined the coven. I don't know where he went to. I don't even remember his name. I wouldn't know him if he walked in here. But we're victorious today. Why is that? Because God has no favorites. No favorites. We're overcomers today. And the devil has no power over us. Aren't you glad for that? Let's take back our authority. Let's exercise our faith according to God's word so that we can once again enjoy the blessings of God. Because God has no favorites. God has no favorites. I believe that with all my heart. It didn't make me any difference today. What you're going through, God still has no favorites. You may be sick today, but God has no favorites. You may experience and suffer a death in your family this last few weeks, but God still has no favorites. Fact is, if He had a favor to be those He selected, go ahead and take home, be with Him early. Because they get to be in heaven, enjoying the blessings of the Lord, and they don't have to struggle no more. It's unfair to us. Now, don't get me wrong. It's unfair to us. Or it seems unfair. But God knows best. And He has the best. God has no favorites. Now, before we go to lunch, there's a few people that are sick today.